But I'd like us to look at a couple of things that we, for those who weren't here, we were looking at the other day. And we had a great study on this other day. But it really was just that, studying. I want us to go a little bit more into the sort of a message based on it. And if we can start in Ezekiel. Chapter 28. And this is the famous passage where the word of Yahweh comes to the prince of Tyrus. Verse 2, Son of Man, say to the prince of Tyrus. And the Lord begins to speak to what is clearly a human sitting on the throne of Tyre. And then, and yet saying that, there are elements where God is addressing the prince of Tyre, the king of Tyre, but he's speaking beyond that to the principality, the power, the wicked spirit that's ruling the prince of Tyre. And then we see that in verse 12, he begins to directly speak to that. That spirit, okay? So in other words, the principality behind the prince of Tyre, I'm not going to time you read all of what he says to the prince of Tyre, but there are things in here, I will just say this to you, there are things in here that he says to the human king of Tyre that are also applicable to the spirit behind that king and directly to Lucifer. But he speaks directly to Lucifer. Most scholars would tell you from verse 12 on. Yeah, can you see that? Amen. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say to him, thus says the Lord, Yah, you seal up the sum full of wisdom and perfect and beauty. You have been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, topaz, the diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, the carbuncle, the gold, the workmanship of your tabrets and of your pipes was prepared in you in the day that you were created. I don't know if you get this feeling that I get from this verse, but with all those precious stones, it's like there's a shimmering effect. Would you say that? You know, that when you think about light hitting all those stones, that there's a shimmering effect. You are, verse 14, the anointed cherub that covers. Okay? And I have set you so. You were upon the holy mountain of God. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You are the anointed cherub. Now, the word anointing there in the Hebrew as a sort of a covering thing. But it says that covers. Now, what that word cover means as like a mesh, a knitted fabric. Something that's mesh-like. Okay? And I've set you so. You were upon the holy mountain of God. Now, what he's saying is, the job of Lucifer. Okay? The job of this created being, archangel or high-ranking angel that Lucifer clearly was, the job of this cherub was to cover the throne of God on the mountain. Now, if you'll understand this through the thinking of modern technology, you'll get a far better idea, because this cherub covered the throne, covered the mountain, and the word I'm looking for is camouflage. Okay? But if you bring modern technology into it, we would say stealth, or what we call a cloaking device, like they have in Star Trek, where the ships have a cloaking device, and you can't see them. Maybe you can just see a shimmering effect, but you can't. So the way that Satan was, or Lucifer as he was created, with all these stones and gold, he was created to be something that covers the throne of God and protects it by cloaking it from anyone so that people could literally walk past it without seeing it. He hid the glory. Now remember, the glory of God, as God sits on his throne, the glory's coming out and, you know, blasting. And yet, Lucifer was created with this ability. And if you think of these cloaking things, and incidentally, cloaking technology or stealth technology, that's not science fiction. They're now able to do that, as we know. Okay? And it's all about bending light and so on, so that you can look at something and not see it. Well, that's what Lucifer's job was. He was not just a guard standing, you know, big and strong before the throne of God. He literally covered the throne in such a way that he camouflaged it, disguised it. People would walk past it and not see it. Or walk up to it and not see it. We would call that, to get really quite science fiction-y in an old-fashioned way, he put a force field round the throne of God, which was also an invisible cloak, a cloak of invisibility. Amen? Do you see that quite clearly there? Alright? Now, you were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found. By the multitude of your merchandise, they have filled the midst of you with violence, the abundance of your trade. And that's where he's like the Prince of Tyre, who in verse 5 says, your great wisdom, by your traffic, your trade, have you increased your riches. So in other words, Satan's job was to cloak the throne of God, but he also had a function whereby he increased riches by trade. And that's why, you know, the Prince of Tyre was in Satan's image in that way. And very often today in business, you will see, it's an archetype in literature and fiction and film and so on, is that you get businessmen who are corrupt, but they make lots of money. Well, you can make lots of money by a satanic anointing, or you can make lots of money by the blessing of Abraham. Okay? Amen? Now, the blessing of Abraham is the Lord making you rich without sorrow. But the satanic anointing is with sorrow. Alright, now, Isaiah 25. Remember, Satan's job is to be in the mountain of God, Mount Zion, if you want to call it that. Yeah? There's a Mount Zion in heaven and a Mount Zion on earth, correct? His job is to be that which covers over the mountain, which hides God from the people, from enemies. Now, why did he do that? I don't know, but that's his job. And he's still doing it today, because the Bible says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of those which believe not, lest they should hear the gospel and get saved. Satan's still cloaking God from people. Why do we know that? Because how many people today believe in doctrines that call for there being no God? Evolution being a class. Evolution. Many people who believe in evolution don't believe in God. There is no God. He, just recently, that Hawking was in. Was in the papers today, speaking about, well, let's imagine there is no God. Well, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Amen? That's what the Bible tells us. But the anointed cherub, whose job was to hide God as a security measure, is using that same anointing today to hide God from people who need to see him. Now, we spoke about this the other day, and we speculated, what if this God being invisible, as the Bible says he is, whom having not seen we love, and we sing about the invisible God, we speak about the invisible God. The Bible clearly teaches us that the things of the Spirit are not visible to us. What if that prevention of seeing things up the light spectrum into the spirit realm, what if that's not God's best for us? And only is the state of us right now because there's a cloaking device going on. Do you understand that? Well, I would just love to see angels. I'd love to see, you know, I've seen angels. And you hear people all tell, well, I saw Jesus and I saw this and I saw that. Some of us have seen those things. But you know, why don't we see them more often? Well, God doesn't want you to see those things. Well, show me that. Show me that. What about all the people that see him a lot? Like people that Kenneth Hagin have claimed. When I say claimed, I'm not saying I don't believe him, I'm just saying lots of people have seen Jesus a lot. Well, you know, that's just for them. Says who? Show me the chapter and verse for that. Well, it wouldn't be faith if we saw him all the time. Rubbish. Am I right? It'd be same. But why don't we? Well, maybe there's a cloaking device still being all over the nations that prevents people from seeing. You know, one preacher said it this way. When he reads the New Testament in the Bible about the amount of times people have seen angels, he said he was surprised. You know, people had said to him, I don't know if it's Billy Graham that actually said this, somebody had said to him, what about all these people that claim to have seen angels? And he said, whoever this preacher was, it may have been Billy Graham, yeah, I'm surprised that more people haven't seen them when you read the Bible. Seeing into the realm of the Spirit, seeing things, it's just simply a matter of seeing beyond the speed of light into the realm of, in other words, up the light spectrum. Now, what if the reason we can't do that is partly because we are being prevented to by a cloaking device from this anointed chair that covers, using this for his own purposes? Amen? Who's blinded the minds of people with unbelief. Unbelief is not seeing. That could be willful. But you know, how many poor people would come to faith if they saw more? Well, did Jesus not say, blessed are you who have not seen and yet believe? Yes. But nonetheless, it'd still be good to see. Am I right? Isaiah 25 says this. Verse 7. He will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. What mountain? The mountain of God. Where Satan does his covering thing, where Satan does the cloaking device. Your Bible says, in the same mountain, God's going to destroy the cloaking device. You see that? Think of it in modern technology. I know what you used to think of old fashioned veils and so on, because it's a lot easier to understand when you think of it as, if you like, Klingon technology. That God's going to break the cloaking device so that you can see. Amen? Now, is there scripture for this, Pastor? Yes. 1 John, if we turn there, chapter 3. Have you ever wondered why the Bible keeps saying, behold? The King James, behold. It's not because it's got some kind of, you know, grand announcement, behold, purpose. It simply means, look, see. How many times we are exhorted to look and see. Look, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Alright? Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Now, I want you to get into this, your head, this concept that God has made us the sons of God, the sons and daughters of God, okay? Why is that important? Because it leads us on the next verse. Beloved, now are we the sons of God? Or let's just say, we are now, at this present moment, the sons of God. That's who we are. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. What does that mean? It means this. You are a son or daughter of God, but you are not yet shown that the way that God wants you to show it. Is that a fair comment? Yeah? Would you agree that's how we interpret that? It doesn't yet appear. It's not fully evident that you're a son of God. Especially when you're whining and moaning, feeling sorry for yourself. You don't look much like a son or daughter of God then, do you? Or when you crab it with people and so on. But deep down, yeah. And what, look what it says. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What it's saying is, when Jesus, if Jesus was to appear in front of you right now, and you were to see him, it would be manifest what you are. You would be a mirror image. The only thing preventing us seeing that you're a mirror image of Jesus is that Jesus is not appearing manifest right now in that way. In other words, when you see Jesus, you'll be exactly like him. Amen? When you see Jesus, you will be his mirror image. Find me another translation of that that makes sense, that we've just read. That's what it means, isn't it? You, when you see him as he is, so are we in this world. Amen? When you see him as he is, it'll be like looking in the mirror. For him and you. Now, we don't see that just now. And we think, oh, if Jesus walked in this room, we would all be screaming our heads off and all. But that's not what the Bible says. You know, when Jesus was in the boat with Peter, and Peter says, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. That was when, before Peter was born again and filled with the Spirit. The Bible says when Jesus appears, we won't be, I don't look upon him. We'll see him as, and we'll be his mirror image. Because everything else will just melt away. And reality will take over. Reality will come to the fore, and the reality is, we are him, we are just like him, we are as he is. We have the same spirit. He's in us, we're in him. And that's how it will be. Why? Because we're sons of God. But that's not happened yet. Why? Because there's a veil. And the veil is preventing us seeing him. Isn't it? Oh, but Pastor, I see him in his word. Well, that's true. Okay, that's true. But we see through a glass darkly, Paul says. You now know there's more. And you and I know that if Jesus walked into this room right now in bodily form and stood among us, would that change your life? I know people who've seen Jesus. I've been with people who've seen Jesus. I want you to know that's a life changer. And you look at them, there's no doubt who they've been with. I was in a shop once, years ago, Christian bookshop, and this guy burst in the door. I mean, just burst in the door, screaming. And I thought, he's a head case, until he came near me and walked up and said hello. He said hello to everybody in the shop. Hello, brother, and hallelujah. And this guy was either nuts, I reasoned, or he had been with Jesus. He said, and I knew right away, this guy's seen Jesus. And this guy, he's looked into the face of the Savior. A few years later, I met a man who was with him the night he had that face-to-face Jesus encounter. In a room, in bunk beds in a dormitory. And the friend of mine who knew this guy, he was terrified and hid under the duvet, and dared, he says, the room was full of light, blind and light, and he says, I was terrified. The guy, he says, this other fellow shouted to him, look at his face, and so on, he's beautiful. And he says, I was too scared. But he was in the presence. But this other guy looked into the face, and you've never seen it. And I've known this of people. But what I'm trying to get across to you is, when you see him, you'll be like him. When the veil, the covering, is removed from the mountain, amen? Then you'll see him as he is. Now, if you turn with me to Romans chapter 8, you'll see this. Romans chapter 8 says, verse 18, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We're going to go over into what's called manifestation of the sons of God realms here, or manifest sons, or various, when we speak about Benjamin Company and so on. There are many people who believe that there is coming a generation in the earth who will walk in the fullness of the glory and the manifestation of power that God has always wanted his church to walk in. And I believe it will come when the veil is removed. Now, it's interesting when you look at the mountain, you look at the word Shehalion, which means fairy mountain of the Caledons. Because fairies, who I believe are interdimensional creatures which really exist, they're not necessarily angels as we understand them, but they are spirit beings that God created. They're known throughout history as beings who can cloak themselves, and people have stumbled into glades and forests and suddenly found themselves in fairy villages, and then they've gone back another day and there's been nothing there. Why? Because there's a cloaking device. Fairies, brownies, goblins, pixies, leprechauns, all these creatures have been seen. Of course they're real. And today we have ETs. And if you go and check all the stories of ETs against the stories of fairies 200-300 years ago, the same thing. People have been abducted and taken and, you know, beyond the veil. Even using terms like that. Taken to another dimension, we would call it. Why? Where the cloaking, through the cloaking device, these so-called spaceships that come in and out of our atmosphere, that one minute they're visible, the next minute, well, we've even seen some stuff like that. But we don't think it's little aliens piloting, you know, Star Trek Klingon, you know, vessels, do we? Or Vulcans. These are interdimensional beings, probably mainly spirit beings, who can come down the light spectrum and become visible. But they can cloak themselves. You know, the Shehalion means the cowled one, the veiled one. If you take the chayil part out of Shehalion, it leaves you with Zion. But you put the chayil part in, and it means the veiled one, the cowled one, or the fairy hill of the Caledons. Why? Well, are there fairies there? Are there beings in Shehalion that you can't see? As there are in many places. Are there realms that you can't... Oh, where's a lot of this monster come from? Is that an interdimensional being? What about the Yeti and all these other things? Are there creatures in upon the earth that float in and out of a veil? What if what he's talking about in this word means you'll start to be able to see those things, because the veil's going to be removed. And you'll start to see these glorious things in earth. Not just bad things, by the way, but things that God has hidden. Things that God himself has hidden. Or things that Satan has hidden of God. See, what was Satan's job on the mount? To hide the glory of God. That's the anointed cherub, was to hide God's glory. What if there's glory? See, I've always known this since a wee boy. God has shown me glories in the earth that Satan, I believe, has hidden. And now and again you get a peek. Now and again, for whatever reason, whether God allows it or the Satan just slips up, you get a wee peek. And even areas that in the normal way of things look dank and dull and grey and boring and dull and so on, when that veil is lifted, you suddenly see glory just coming bursting through. I was sharing with David the other day that the guy who's discovered or classified a new kind of cloud. Okay? They don't think it's new, but it's never been classified before. And the guy is in some cloud appreciation society, and he's pushing to get this cloud, you know, classified. And he took a picture of it. And it looks, it's all interwoven, clouds. It looks like a veil. Or a poured out thing is what that means, the veil or the covering in Hebrew. It looks like a mesh. Guess where he took a picture of it? Above Shehalion. Now when the veiled one, the Kail, the goddess, the harlot, the queen of heaven, is taken from Zion, then, or taken from Shehalion, then it will be Mount Zion. And we will begin to see things. Now watch this in Romans chapter 8. Look at what it says here. I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation, the anxious longing of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God, or the revelation of the sons of God. The manifestation of the sons of God, what will that mean? It will be those who say, Jesus appears to me, and when he appears to me, I am as he is. So that they will say there's a generation in the earth that looks like Jesus, walks like Jesus, talks like Jesus, raises the dead like Jesus. They walk into cemeteries and people come out of the graves. They walk into hospitals and people jump out of their beds. They walk through the streets and people get healed, set free, delivered. Why? Because Jesus is in flesh in the sons and daughters of the living God. They've seen Jesus. They see things. And you know, maybe the whole of humanity will begin to... You know, the Bible says, every eye shall see him. How can that happen if there's a veil? If there's a cloaking device. The cloaking device is coming down, and we spoke about it the other day. What's going to bring it down? The hand of God. Because what do we know about the hand of God? there was his power hidden. But when he comes from the mount, Habakkuk, rays of power are flashing from his hand. No longer will it be hidden. The glory will be revealed in us. It says so here. Look what it says. Nothing will be worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Well, folks, let's flip over to Isaiah 60 again. And it says, arise, shine, for your light is come. And the glory of Yahweh is Zara upon you. The glory of Yahweh is Zara upon you. Okay? Isaiah 59 verse 19. They shall fear the name of Yahweh from the west, and his glory from the Mizrach of the sun, the sunrise, the sunburst, the Zara of the sun. The red hand, the right hand of God on the mountain. On the mountain. How do we know Isaiah 25? Go by the hook. Keep your hands in Isaiah 60. Isaiah 25, what does it say? Verse 10. Verse 7, he will destroy this mountain, the face of the covering, cast over all people, the veil that is spread over all nations. Verse 10, for in this mountain shall the hand of Yahweh rest. The hand of Yahweh will rest upon the mountain, and the veil will be taken off. The cloaking device of old Lucifer, Satan, the dragon himself, will be taken off. How do we know? Your light has come, the glory has risen upon you, the glory is revealed in you. Same as Romans 8, this is talking about the manifestation of the sons of God at the fall of Babylon, isn't it? For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness of people, but Yahweh shall arise upon you, or Zara, and his glory shall be seen upon you. A lot of times here in these passages, the word Zara or derivatives of it are used. Other times it's just another word for arise. But the point is that this whole thing is speaking about the red hand rising in the midst. Amen? Lift up your eyes round about and see. See. See what God wants you to see. They gather themselves together. Verse 5, then you shall see. Then you shall see the abundance of the sea is converted, the wealth of the nations is coming to you. Then you see it. Right now you see it by faith, but you will see it in that day. You see it? Now, let's go over to Revelation 12 to show you something. Verse 9. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceives the whole world. Deceives the whole world. Deceives the whole world. Because that's him using his anointing to cloak, to deceive the whole world. In other words, what is Satan's number one mantra? There is no God. Am I right? Well, what do most people say? Show me God and I'll believe in him. But you know, there's coming a time people won't be able to say that because they'll see him. I don't know how. They will see things in the spirit that they can't see right now. The day of the veil is taken off. Multitudes will get swept into the kingdom because they will see they'll see angels, they'll see devils, they'll see, you know, in other words, people won't be able to say anymore, oh, what's that spirit realm? Aye, right. They will see the spirit realm, some people, as clearly and even more so than they see the physical realm. Because that's his job, to deceive. Alright? Now, if you turn to Luke chapter 4, I'll show you something. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. Does God tempt man? No. Does the Holy Ghost lead you into situations where you'll be tested? Yes. Why? Because God wants to promote you and he wants to test you first so that you know, he knows, and the devil knows, you're someone not to be messed with. Amen? Those days he did eat nothing. When they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said to him, if you be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. If you be the Son of God. Why did Satan say, if you be the Son of God? Here's why. Because when God wants to take you to that next level, you need to know who you are. And if Satan can get you to doubt who you are, you won't reach that next level. That's why it's so important to press this "you are my people" message. Because when you know that which God has revealed to us and you know deep down, you can do what Jesus did to Satan and say, it is written. Now, what did Jesus say, it is written? He is the Word of God. He is the Son of God. He is God. But here's what he's saying. He's saying, I'm going to beat you at man's level, not God's level. I can swat you like a fly. But I'm going to show everybody that comes after me that any man can stand on the word, the written word, and run you out of town. I'm going to beat you at their level, not my level. Which means you and I can do the same thing. Then he says, the devil taking him up into a high mountain showed to him all the kings of the world in a moment of time. Watch this. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered to me, and to whomsoever will I give it, if you worship me. Now here's the thing that you need to understand. There's glory in those things. There's glory in cities. There's glory in the world. There's glory. Now, that's God's glory, folks, because Satan's job, remember, was to hide God's glory. Only he's doing it today, tonight, at this moment in time, to prevent people from coming to God, rather than just as a security thing when God wanted the mountain covered. Does that make sense? He's using the power, the anointing, the calling that God gave him to prevent God and man being reconciled, because man can't see God because Satan is hiding the glory. And it's the same with the cities. There are things that God has in the earth that are glorious, that can only come forth when the veil is removed from all nations. There's glory that God has there. There's glory in Glasgow. There's glory in Edinburgh. There's glory in London. Now we went, oh yes, wonderful cities that I've seen. But there are glories in those places, all of those places, that we haven't hardly dreamed of, that God has stored up in these places. And you know, when Satan said this to Jesus, he was running the show. The kingdoms were his. But you see, that's why Jesus died on the cross. So that which Satan got from Adam, the second Adam, the last Adam, would get back from Satan. And this is the great deception. This is the veil. This is the veil. What is that veil? Here it is. Satan's still telling everybody he's running the show. And the sad thing is, most Christians believe him. And they want to get raptured out of here rather than saying, where is he? Let's hunt him down and show him who really is Lord. And run him out of town. But you see, when Christians, when the tipping point comes, and enough Christians get to that place, that's when the veil's coming off the, you know, being destroyed from the mountain. And that's when we begin to see things that we never, you know, can we say this to you? There are things around us right now, you don't know they're there. And if you think, well, one day we'll know about those things, in the distant glory, you know, when we're all saved, you know, in eternity, I'm telling you, God's going to show those things to people in the very near future, because I believe Babylon's fallen and the veil is coming off all nations very, very soon. No more deception. I said no more deception. Shehalion. What put that veil there? What strengthens it? There's times when that veil has been strengthened. One of those times was the so-called Age of Enlightenment, when, thanks to Freemasonry and the speculative society of Scotland, which we know has connections with the Mount, they started this process of teaching men all about reason, the age of reason, and they ended up teaching evolution, they ended up teaching that, you know, the Bible was just a book of morals. The so-called Age of Enlightenment was the age of gross darkness. That after it had begun and ended, the whole political landscape of the world had changed, and it created generations of atheists because the veil got stronger from the mount. Dark, nefarious, occultic things have been done on the mount, brothers and sisters, that have made that covering much stronger. But God has called us, his remnant people, to be the ones to destroy that covering in our generation. Amen? So that people begin to see. They see. Oh, they'll see with the eye of faith. Yes. Because the eye of faith will be much stronger, because I believe people will see physically further up the spectrum of reality than they're presently able to do. Saved people, unsaved people, all kinds of people. Why? Because the veil is in place. The covering, the cloaking device is in place. But once it's removed, there'll be no hiding place for darkness. Amen? It's coming. Now, we'll finish this off, go to Revelation chapter 3 to show you something. To the angel, verse 7, the church in Philadelphia, write these things, says he that's holy, he that's true, he that's the key of David. He that opens, no man shuts, shuts, no man opens. I know your work. Behold, there it is again. Take a good look. I've set before you an open door. I've set before you an open door. And no man can shut it. For you, if you have a little strength, have kept my word, have not denied my name. Look at this. Behold. Again, it is there. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, 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 behold. I will, behold. Behold, are you looking? Are you seeing? Are you beholding? Are you looking? Are you looking? Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Same thing as Isaiah 60, am I right? Where it says, I'll fall at your feet and those that despise you will come. Now, why would they do that? There's only one reason. There's only one reason. There's only one reason. Only one reason. Only one reason why anybody would come, particularly those who are of the synagogue of Satan, and put themselves at your feet. I don't believe this is a metaphor. I believe this is literal. There's only one reason. They see something. And what they see, brothers and sisters, they see the Lord Jesus. And they see him in you and me. That's the only reason. Oh, those people, they're really of God. They're the remnant. Aye, right. They're not going to read your Facebook page and do this. Okay? They're not going to read a tweet from you and come and fall down at your feet. They will see the living, risen, ascended, glorified Son of God in you. And they'll hit the deck. Just as when you see him, you'll say, you're just like me. And I'm just like you. And then when they see the you that has seen him, they'll hit the deck. And they'll say, you're the one he loves. You are the real deal. You are all that. And we are imposters. You've got what we don't have in Philadelphia. We Sardis folks don't have it. But we sure do want to talk the talk. But you guys are the real deal. And it's not going to be, oh well, you know, they're saying this as they're munching the carpet, brothers and sisters. These are real things. Why? Because the manifest sons of God are coming. Now are we the sons of God? But not yet manifest. Does not yet appear. But when the veil is destroyed, when the covering comes off, when the cloaking device is ruined, and people start seeing things. What is Allah saying? And in one simple sentence, when people begin to see things as they really are, who's really saved? Who really hears from Jesus? Who's really anointed? Who really has the truth? When that is all evident, that sorts out the wannabes from the real deal. Amen? Now, let me tell you something right now. If you've got a heart for God and you're discovered to be a wannabe, well, if you've got a real heart for God, you'll get right very quickly anyway. So there's no harm done. Am I right? That's why the Bible says in Isaiah 60, if you look, your sons and daughters are coming from far. Why? Because they see something in you and they want to be sons and daughters too. Do you understand? They're seeing what you're seeing, but they know that you're close to the one. Does that make sense? They're seeing that you are his people. And they want to get in on it. You know, it's so. When people see things as they're real, when they see what's been hidden from them, they don't want to reject Jesus, they want in. I mean, it's going to be. You have to be a lunatic to reject salvation if you saw things as they really were. Am I right? So multitudes will come, as the Bible says. It's coming soon, brothers and sisters. Let's rejoice. And incidentally, the word revelation is from the Greek word apokalypsis, which means the removing of the veil or the unveiling. The unveiling is coming. The veil is about to be ripped apart. Anything that cloaks God, his word, the angels, the spirit realm, the glory realm, Jesus, you name it, anything that cloaks, God's going to rip that up. And it's going to have to be somebody who's really, 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 really rebellious and full of hate to reject the Lord when they see him and see us in the light. Amen? The Lord bless you.